Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Bart, it's funny. I got a couple of texts. Anytime I bring this up, too, it always ends up where I hear from some people right away. And a friend of mine sent me a text. I'm in for the sports food show.
Yeah, man.
Every time I've brought it up on the air, I get people, you know, I've gotten a couple of those. I'm just reading the one because it was the first thing on my phone. But it's like you get a couple of people that are always like, oh, man, that's a great idea. But yet, when I tried to sell it, I was told it was too much logistics, difficulty, and all that. I'm like, how does Rachel Ray do it?
Exactly. That's basically what she do.
It's just the kitchen.
She talk about sports.
Man, just give us a kid. Like somebody, like you got a big palatial estate. We could just do it in your kitchen.
Yeah.
Just set up some cameras.
Yeah.
All you need is a kitchen island and like a nice looking kitchen.
I got two kitchens.
Well, see? Even better. Like just like I just think it's literally the same thing we do on our show, just instead of sitting in a studio, we do it in the kitchen, making some food, talking.
And you can get actors and cause all
better sports fans.
Love to be sports, yeah. And you have them come in, cook their meals, and talk about their experience.
But the pushback I got was like, well, wouldn't you need like a chef to come in? I'm like, why?
Rachel Ray is not a chef.
Well, she's a food
no, she, but no, she's not. But what I'm saying, she's not a trained, just so people know. She was a personality that Oprah found.
Yeah.
And she cooks recipes.
Wait, isn't it more fun when you could take like an like I said?
Yeah, yeah.
Here's a great example. We know Keyshawn Johnson loves to cook, right? We know Marcus Spears. We love Swagoo. He loves to cook. If we had Marcus Spears come on and just cook like while we're talking, him telling us all about what he's making while we're talking about the NFC East and arguing about like the Cowboys and the Giants and the Eagles and the Commanders, like this is literally what we do. We're just making food too, and the guy's also talking about this, like what he likes about food, or whether it's Keyshawn or whether it's you
and somebody you were teammates with.
It's just I know there's a place for it. We just don't have the place yet.
I have friends that are chefs that has like restaurants. Like Adelius Thomas has two restaurants. Like he has his own barbecue sauce. Like what are we talking about, son?
I mean, you know.
And then we can have a DJ like Ellen had. You know what I mean? Have a DJ up there.
Even better.
And then we have a mixologist that come down and we
studio
drink
audience.
Beverages.
They can get the food when we're done cooking it. They get to have some.
And adult beverages.
Well, that's
sponsored by somebody. We make
mixed that was drinks. The other good idea that somebody threw my way as an alternative. Say, what if you did it in the afternoon and at a bar and it, like you had a mixologist who could make you drinks? And it's like, so we're going to get wasted on TV. Like while we're talking sports, I can get a little out of control. And then he brought up the fact that what about like Amazon? Because you can do anything you want on Amazon.
I mean, Netflix is always looking for content too. All these streaming places are always looking for content.
Speaking of Amazon. Now that I thought of it, did you see now this? How do you feel about this? So now there's a Thursday Night Football flex proposal that teams could play two Thursday night games and others would not play at all. You could do a back to back.
Well, they can't flex. They can't flex until like a certain time in the season because you don't know who's good, who's not good. And who's just injured, so you can't start flexing games week three. It seems like, you know.
But there, you could have, like, because I guess what they're saying is that the Thursday, like, if you went Thursday night and then played, that's not considered short week because you played Thursday and then playing Thursday again.
Yeah.
So they're saying, well, you got a full week off.
But
so some teams could actually
week.
Play three if you're flexed into it. Listen, here's a quote from Brian Rolapp, who's the NFL Executive Vice President and Chief Media and Business Officer. By the way, officer, does he have a badge? What do you call him, an officer? He said, we're interested in making sure that we get exposure for all of our clubs. We also believe that these national windows are for clubs that are playing well. And we want to put the best teams in the best windows. So what they're basically saying is we don't want a crappy Thursday night game with two teams that nobody cares about because nobody's going to watch it. Why? Because we all know you need the Amazon app. We've already talked about this. You can't do the what we always love about TV is when you're watching sports on TV, what can you do? Last channel. I can jump out of it if the game sucks and just keep, you know, checking in. When it's on an app, when you're streaming it on your smart TV, you can't do that as easily. So that's what he had to say. Now listen to John Mara, owner of the Giants, who's completely opposed to this.
Our season ticket holders to people that fill our stadiums every week. people have gotten used to going from Sunday afternoon to Sunday night. That doesn't mean that they like it. This year, we can be flexed to Monday night, which I think is really inconsiderate to our typical goals. But to flex a game back to Thursday night, to me, is just abusive. And I am adamantly opposed to it. I think it didn't get, unfortunately, didn't get enough votes today, but it'll probably be revisited in May.
Now, you heard him say, he called the idea abusive. He said that his concern, though, is that this will come up again in the spring league meetings in May and that it'll probably pass. A flex game, by the way, would be announced 15 days before the scheduled Thursday kickoff. So you'd have a two-week window to know that your game's being flexed. So it's not like it would be a last-second thing. But he's more concerned about the tickets, as you heard him say. We got people coming to the building, and now we're having them change their plans.
Yes.
That they thought they were coming on Sunday. Now they got to come on Thursday?
Yes, Thursday night. Guess what? It's Thursday night. You can still go to the game.
Well, no, not if you're coming in from out of town and you made it a weekend.
Man, come on, man. Like, stop it. Their people will adjust.
So you're this not buying all this.
What
you
I'm
don't think this
is
a problem.
I don't like what he said, what people are used to. Well, guess what? The world is changing, old man, and you got to change with it.
Whoa. I wouldn't go there.
Okay, what I'm saying is
the world is changing, so we're going to now not care about – what did I just say about the Jets?
No.
I don't want to go all the way.
Listen.
A Thursday night game at MetLife Stadium for me that lives on Long Island is completely out of the question.
It's collateral damage. This is why – this is what I'm saying. The reason that Washington is worth $6 billion – this man is going to make five. They're forcing him to sell.
I know.
He's going to make $5 billion.
Broadcast rights.
So if you want Amazon to give you $1 billion, double what CBS, double what Fox was paying you, give you $1 billion, you have to ensure that they have the best product. If it looks like a team that we thought was going to be good is bum salad, and all of a sudden now we thought that – Cleveland was going to be good, and Deshaun Watson gets hurt. And then now the team that they were playing, you know, the Saints and Jimmy G or Derek Carr gets hurt, and they're back to Andy Dalton or Jameis Winston, and we know we can't sell that game because viewership's going to be down. For Amazon or whoever gets like the Sunday packs, I believe that YouTube is going to eventually get involved in this as well.
Mm-hmm.
You saw them getting involved, you know, before, so they're going to try and get some type of package as well because you saw them flexing during the Super Bowl. That was just a warning that we coming. So it's like the same way that you ask the players. Guess what? Players didn't want 17 games, but you said it was important for the betterment of the game. So this is for the betterment of your television streaming partners.
All right, let's get a little more from Roger Goodell now, reacting to what John Mara had to say, and again calling it abusive. So here's Goodell on the flex scheduling.
There isn't anybody in that room, anybody in any of our organizations who don't put our fans first. That's really important. Obviously, providing the best matchups for our fans is part of what we do. That's part of what I think our scheduling has always focused on. And flex has been a part of that. We are very judicious with it, and we're very careful with it. And we look at all of the impacts to that. I think we average, in the years we've been doing it, about a flex and a half a year. It can vary any particular year. So it's a very important thing for us to balance.
All right.
Right.
Now,
so it's been a tool, Alan.
All right.
It's,
hang
it's
on.
Been a tool.
There's a little more here because, as you just talked about, this is, you know, like John Mara is saying, we've got 80,000 people that come to these games, and if we're flexing things out, we're changing their plans now. They thought it was a Sunday. Now they're coming on a Thursday night, or they're coming on a Monday night where this was like a big deal for them. It's the one game a year they can go to, all that stuff. So he brought all that stuff up, and you said, hey, the broadcast is what's bringing the money into this sport, and you've got to cater to that. And so Goodell was then asked about the league prioritizing, for especially Thursday, Amazon over their fans.
I don't think we are putting Amazon over players' interests. You know, we've always been looking at the data with respect to injuries and the impact on players. Drove our decisions throughout the first 12 or so years of Thursday night football and how it's evolved. And I think we have data that's very clear. It doesn't show higher injury rate. But we recognize shorter weeks. We went through this in COVID, too. We had to have a lot of flexibility in those areas. So those are obviously different circumstances. But we work very closely on that. I hear from a lot of players directly, too. They love the 10 days afterwards. In fact, they call it a mini-buy. there's some benefits on that side. So you have different views. You want to consider all them.
So you're all for this then, Bart?
Yeah, I mean, what I'm saying is if any other day of the week can get flexed, if Sunday night football can get flexed, because just think, Amazon is looking to capture the entire, not just the home team's crowd.
Of course.
They're trying to capture the ratings because Monday night football is usually the highest rated
people
show.
People like to watch football.
Right. And they love primetime games.
Mm-hmm.
And if you try and sell them the Colts and the Jaguars and they both stink that year, or the Texans and the Jaguars and they both stink that year, then it ain't good for business. Because guess what? All those commercials and the partners that I have, the streaming services has partners too. People that's going to buy ad time and stuff like that. It's all relative. What I'm saying is if Sunday can be flex, Monday can be flex, then I don't care if Thursday's flex as long as they do it in a responsible way. So when Amara says that, why you have concern with your fans there when your fans had to go work at night, but then your game got flexed from a morning game, a 1 o'clock, because you guys are playing, and now this game is important to secure playoff berths and stuff like that, or the winner goes in, and they flex that. Why you ain't concerned with that now?
Because it's 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock.
No, 1 o'clock to 8 o'clock.
It's the same day.
Or Saturday, right?
But you already, already know about Saturday.
No.
That schedule's ahead. That's made in the regular season. You know that December Saturday schedule is already done.
But they flex those too. Flex a Saturday. So if you flex a Saturday to a Sunday, all of a sudden nobody mentions that. So it already happens. So now it's like selective outrage to me for Mara. And this is also, to me, this is a reward to the teams that are having a good season. If you stink, you don't deserve to be on TV. We don't want to watch you.
800-919-3776. Ira in Staten Island. What's going on, Ira?
Hey, Alan, how are you? Bob, how are you? Hope everything's good.
Good.
I tell you, I'm not trying to disrespect anybody, but, you know, the commissioner, I'm sorry, Bart, and, you know, you played the game. You may not want to admit it. Playing on a Sunday and turn around, and especially if you have to travel and play on a Thursday. So I've been against Thursdays ever since they started it, but it's all about the TV money. I completely understand that. But now with all this flexing and the potential flexing Thursdays going forward, John Mara, I give all the credit in the world. He spoke because he's generally concerned about the fans. And the 60 or 40 or 80,000 that are show up, that's like a spit in the bucket compared with what they make on TV.
Yes, the marriage.
Mara's from the old school. He gets it. But the commissioner, come on, you can't tell me that players are not hurting, they're not banged up, and they have to have a short week. I get they get the extra 10 days afterwards. But to me, they're better off with a doubleheader on Monday. Tuesday, possibly, I can understand it. They got to get rid of it.
So, Ira, if they do a doubleheader and move it to Monday, that's still moving people that thought they were going to a game on Sunday to Monday. So it's the same thing. That's what I'm saying. It's selective outrage. Because to me, listen, I didn't care about Thursday games. Because to me, when I get through the Thursday game, it's about mental toughness. You only have to do it one. And on the other side, I get 2 days off. I'm in Miami, or I'm in the Bahamas for 2 days. So it never bothered me, right? Because, you know, it's just like training camp. When you know you got that tough 2-a-day coming, you know if you just grit through it, and the team that wins feels great about it. The team that wins Thursday night feels great. Because guys going to get a mini bye, and you get a chance to reset, self-evaluate, self-scout, watch the game. It's only the people that lose that got to complain about it, or somebody get hurt. People get hurt every week. Thursday night football never bothered me. You guys ask yourself, why did they do Thursday night football? You know why they did Thursday night football? Because they were watching the MAC conference dominate the TV ratings.
Wednesdays.
Right. Yeah. No, Thursdays. The MAC used to play on Thursdays football.
Yeah.
Instead of playing on Saturday, they played on Thursdays. Mm-hmm. And they saw how popular they got. And the NFL got greedy. And they said, you know what, MAC conference, y'all a little conference. Y'all ain't the SEC anyway. We'll crush you like a cockroach. And every owner was on board for it. Just like every owner was on board so you care about – do you care about your players? Because everybody was on board for getting that extra game. Why do you think they did that game? So you're saying the owners don't care about their players? It's about the money, and Mara has Mara has selective outrage. I bet you, if one of those games get flexed, that the Giants get two games, and now they get basically a national TV game. You got everybody coming in. You got all the TV trucks coming in. Those TV trucks are going to mean hotels are spent, restaurants are full, and then you're going to get all that local business, and now you got a national game, and you didn't have a national game. I bet you Merrill ain't pissed about that or concerned about that. He ain't going to complain about that. So quit having a selective outrage when we already flex stuff. This ain't something new. When I was at CBS, they used to flex games all the time. Take games from us, give it to Fox, turn it to a 4 o'clock game all the damn time. And they also used to take, like, no, we get no way we can sell Monday Night Football Week 17, Texans and the Jaguars.
Oh, ain't nobody watching that stuff. You're right.
Like, so you're wasting your time.
Right.
And you're hurting the business because all that money gets shared and it's collectively bargained.
Well, it was that, everybody gets a shot at this, being seen on national TV. But then you realize, not everybody deserves it. And not everybody wants to see it just because their fans are mad.
We're never on
Thursday night.
Yeah. Let's take baseball, for instance.
All right.
The Pirates and the Orioles. The Pirates and the Royals they don't deserve it because their teams aren't actively trying to win.
Right.
And it is teams in the NFL that are actively not trying to win.
And that's a step ball.
It used to be Arizona.
That's maddening when you consider the amount of money that's being put into that league, and there's a salary cap, which means it's supposed to be parity. It's supposed to be even. And there's teams you're telling me that actively aren't trying to win. Let's take Dave in Babylon. What's up, Dave?
Hey, Alan. How are you?
I'm good.
Hi, Bart.
What up?
This has been a dream off season for us Jet fans, and in terms of player acquisition, it looks like. But Woody should finish the job and move the team to New York. And Alan, you mentioned the out and the contract in New Jersey. Something's going on in horse racing. They're making Belmont Racetrack winterize. In other words, they can run horses in the winter. That means that Aqueduct's land is available, and that's a huge parcel. It has it's supposed to have a convention center. A casino is already there.
There's a casino there already.
Perfect. And you got mass transit going into there.
You do.
Dave, you missed it, man. You missed it. Hudson Yards was supposed to be where the stadium is. It's no way Hudson Yards is gone.
But that's out. That's out.
So, but I don't think Manhattan is. But yeah, is
in Manhattan
difficult.
Is very building difficult
in Queens
for
is a different
big,
story.
Yes. See, I think that's where I think we agree is that it cannot be in the downtown because you still want the tailgating, you still want that experience.
Absolutely.
And like a stadium belongs more in the outskirts, but more accessible
spoken,
than MetLife is.
Spoken true Long Island, New York people. Because all the fans that come from Jersey, it's a lot of people that come.
All the fans in New Jersey.
It's a lot of people that come from Jersey. It's a bunch of fans that come from New Jersey.
I don't deny that, but
so
Dave.
You can't make everybody happy.
Dave's in Babylon, and so Dave, you know it like I know it. The majority of fans, football fans on Long Island are what?
Yeah, the fan base for the Jets is Long Island.
Yes.
You give me somebody from Westchester, I know they're a Giant fan. You give me somebody from Long Island, there's a really good chance they're
really
going to be
a Jets
fan.
And most New Jersey fans are Giants fans.
It's changed, bro.
Absolutely.
Of course it's changed.
It's changed. 10 years the Jets have been in Florham Park.
You moved them away.
Yeah, you want to know why? Because they couldn't get free agents to sign because the facilities in Hofstra was horrible.
Well, all right.
They couldn't get the land to build a massive facility to attract the players that would attract the fans because it changed the winning. So it's all connected.
They didn't give Woody the land.
You could build a state-of-the-art stadium that is smaller. The gut life is just too big. A smaller stadium, you could build it with meant for tailgating with the facilities.
Give it some identity and character so it doesn't feel like you're sharing a building.
Good.
Dave,
sure.
I'm with you, man.
I'm with you,
Dave. Bart doesn't want to hear it.
Give the Jets a little bit.
Listen, Bart. See, this is amazing. By the way, he's a Jets fan that's talking, Bart. He's not saying give the Jets a little building. He's saying get them their own building.
A smaller building.
You don't have to make it that big. You can make it something
that feels small.
You're only listening to words you want to hear. Now, I'm not saying make it small because the Jets deserve small. What I'm saying is give them their own damn building with their own damn identity so it doesn't look like I'm playing in an air conditioner that I'm sharing with another team that literally we drape over our stuff on top of your stuff. Like the Clippers and the Lakers. Why do the Clippers are building their own stadium, their own arena? They don't want to share it with the Lakers. It ain't their building.
A lot more land in California than New York.
There's plenty of land right now to be done. There is a way.
But there's an out right now.
And if there's ever a time to do it, it would be now.
After Woody spent all that money for that facility over there, it's still got the new car smell. Right.
Well,
so he's supposed to say move all the whole
team. You're going to tell me that all these free agency Florham Park and go, yeah, I want to be there.
Yes.
A long ride away from New York City. I want to be there.
Come on, bro, man. It takes 40 minutes to get from Short Hills, and most of them live in Edgewater, or they live in Hoboken, and they can see New York from there.
Right.
But it allows them to go to practice. Listen, what the problem was,
I know,
but it was
Hofstra
Long Island,
the ideal place
the Long Island Stadium, it used to take the guys 3 hours to get back from the game through traffic.
Because it was in New Jersey.
No. Right, because the stadium was in New Jersey.
Yes, I agree.
So now guys have houses over here. So now you're going to flip.
Well, they flipped it before.
Hey, man.
Flip it again.
Blame it on your city councilman and all that stuff.
We don't have city councilmen.
Or, well, whoever you have.
We just have the land. We have a guy who's like a senator or a congressman who just lied about everything and still got voted in. That's how we do it on Long Island. That's how we do it.
Yeah.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
This Lamar Jackson story, it's not only is it not going away, I feel like it's getting worse.
Yeah, man.
It's getting worse, man. All right.
What's that new series? Knives Out?
Well, I think they're out now. All right, so we got that and more coming up right now, because it's time for us to step aside and let the headline makers do the talking in the segment we like to call
Audio Files.
The Audio File.
So let's begin then with this story. And it starts with yesterday, with obviously at the owners' meetings in Arizona. All the owners are talking, GMs are talking, coaches are talking. Everybody's talking, everybody's got something to say, and there's been a lot of interesting stuff that has come out of it. But anything involving Lamar Jackson has been awkward at times. I mean, the Colts have said, you know, we'd be crazy not to look into it. The Ravens are saying we want to keep him, whatever it takes. There was some joking by Robert Kraft that Meek Mill told him Lamar wants to be a Patriot. That's already been shot down. That's not going to happen. And then there's this. Remember the team that we all thought was going to get Deshaun Watson? Right before the Browns decided they were going to go all in with a fully guaranteed 250.
Preach. If you was going to give it to Deshaun Watson, preach, Allen, preach.
That would be the Atlanta Falcons.
Church Tabernacle.
So Arthur Blank, who knew Deshaun growing up, Arthur Blank was then asked by The Athletic about this situation. Okay, so you were all in on Deshaun. Why aren't you all in on Lamar Jackson? And Arthur Blank's reply is different player, different time. You have a winner, he means in Lamar Jackson, an MVP in the league. There's no question he's one of the top quarterbacks in the league. But he said, looking at it objectively, I'd say there's some concern over how long he can play his style of game. And he has hopefully a long time, but he's missed 5-6 games each of the last 2 years. Each game counts a lot in our business.
Can I stop you right there, Alan, just for a second?
Go ahead.
Before I forget my thought?
Go ahead.
So, if I get this right, he was in on Deshaun Watson, right?
Very much so.
Didn't Deshaun Watson miss a whole damn season because he tore his knee up?
That would be affirmative.
Wouldn't a torn knee up and missing a whole season be longer than missing five games?
I would agree.
So what the hell are you talking about?
Oh, can I also add style of play?
Right. The idiot. Didn't this guy have Michael Vick?
Oh, yeah. Well,
isn't that the same play?
He was the owner. Was he?
He was the owner.
He was the owner then? Okay.
Wasn't that the same type of play? What are we smoking, man? Like, make it make sense. If you're going to have an argument, at least have a valid one. Stupidity.
Okay, if you don't like that one, which, by the way, Lamar Jackson, then, of course, the only way he can, because he doesn't have an agent. Normally, agents would handle this and they'd put out stuff in the media. He goes right to social media to respond to this. And he was again on social media, just like he was 2 days ago. And he said this. Let's get real. I'd rather have... Well, actually, it begins with, I don't remember me sitting out on my guys week one versus Jets to week 12 versus Broncos. How come all of a sudden I sit out because of money, in which I could have got hurt any time within the time frame? He said, when we know the Super Bowl has been on my mind since April 2018. Let's get real. This is the big part here. I'd rather have 100% PCL than go out there and play horrible, forcing myself to put my guys in a bad situation. Now that's selfish to me. Now that the PCL's the injury.
Yeah.
And he said, I'd rather be 100% on that, which, Bart, I got to admit, don't talk about the injury. Don't remind people. So you're saying I wasn't 100%.
Of course,
this PCL wasn't 100%.
It's like somebody having a high ankle sprain. Like, LeBron James just missed how many games? How many weeks did LeBron James miss because of his foot?
Yeah, he missed a couple of weeks.
And Lamar Jackson missed about a month as well. Five games. About a month.
Mm-hmm.
In football, you play every week. And if you can't answer the bell, you can't answer the bell.
But he's saying, I'm not going to play
hurt
and play poorly, and it costs my team a chance to win.
Right. Tyler Huntley is a good backup.
And that's what he's trying to say there, where other people might be suggesting you didn't play because you didn't want to play poorly and then not get paid.
Bro, now, I showed up.
Now, let's continue this because we heard, remember yesterday, Ron Rivera said, well, the Washington Commanders, no, we're not interested. We're not in on Lamar Jackson because
we're rally around Sam Howell.
Yeah, listen.
When you bring an entity that has, you know, the number, the contract number, and the impact it's going to have, it's going to change exactly what we're trying to do right now. And that's the thing that we decided in terms of where we wanted to go. When we had our discussions, you know, as a group, we talked about what we felt and how we feel about it. And we felt that going forward with what we've got with Sam and Jacoby now, we feel we can do that because of the guys that we have as playmakers.
He's basically saying, what he's asking for is too rich for our blood and what we're trying to do with our cap and our roster.
Yeah.
So everybody is worried. This is not about he's not good enough to play for us. This is we know what he wants and we don't want to give it to him.
Okay, that's fine. When I'm a free agent in 2 years and it's five quarterbacks that's making $60 million a year, yeah, and it's between you and a team, I'm going to remember that.
Well, there's another part of this that I want to get to. But first, let's just hear from Adam Schefter, who is basically talking about Lamar's situation, like that he needs a market reset.
If there is not a team that steps forward the way there hasn't been so far, what does Lamar do and how does he handle it? Because that becomes the next question then. Does he sign the franchise tender and play on it? Does he sign a long-term deal with Baltimore, get the best deal he can and move on? Or does he just not sign the franchise tender and not play at all? Anybody that thinks they know what Lamar Jackson is thinking right now is wrong, because he's been unpredictable throughout this entire process. Lamar Jackson needs a reset right now. He needs a reset because the market is softer than anybody expected. It should be greater for a quarterback of his abilities, but there's nothing out there right now that matches what he needs.
So, Bart, here's what I'm thinking. Because what we've learned, they talked about this a little bit on Get Up, but they didn't go into detail, and I thought there was an opportunity to really have a great discussion here. I think the quarterback fraternity, if one does exist, they all need to make
this
a statement
one.
Right now. Justin Herbert is beginning contract negotiations with the Chargers. If you are a quarterback in the league right now and you're a high-end guy like he is, like Burrow, those I'm talking about those guys, the elite ones that know that they're up, the young ones that are about to get paid, you should all ask for the same thing. Oh, no, no, Deshaun got fully guaranteed? Give me fully guaranteed.
Not going to happen.
Why well, do you? Why wouldn't it? Because that's how you change your league. And in the NBA, that's what they did. Wait, that's how you change your league.
Okay, tell me this. Tell me this.
Yep.
Second round draft pick, Jalen Hurts. He going to turn out $200 million? No.
Is he getting $200 million fully guaranteed?
No.
But what I'm saying is,
these are all people who can't force the team to do it yet, because they'll just say, okay, bro, keep playing under what you're playing under, and you'll tear your knee up again, and then your market will drop, and then you'll come back to our way.
So if
Lamar Jackson's under control for two more years, they're younger than Lamar Jackson. They're under control for 3 years
Lamar
or 4 years.
Lamar is going to lose then. He's going to lose.
I'm telling you, we all know he's going to lose.
So then why is he still digging in like this?
Because now it's become personal. And it ain't about the guaranteed money. I don't think it's about a guaranteed $230 million. I think it's about getting the disrespect of them offering him $133 million in comparison to $189 million for Kyler Murray, who can't hold his jockstrap, who ain't accomplished nothing, and who's coming off now a torn ACL.
That's the disrespect. Like, you remember the quarterback club back in the day,
Boomer and
Phil Sims and others, right? They all kind of had this little clique that you thought was going to give them some extra juice and some leverage and whatnot. It didn't last because, yeah, egos.
You know what they're going to say?
But they don't do that. They won't do that today.
You won't see
other quarterbacks all getting together saying, wait a minute, Lamar's right.
I should be
getting the same thing too.
No. You know what they're going to say?
What?
They're going to say, okay, Deshaun Watson got a guaranteed deal from a crazy organization. The best quarterback on the planet don't have a guaranteed deal. Deal with it. Until you become him, until he gets one, and you do what he's done, then shut up.
Now, what do you mean? So if you're just
Patrick Mahomes doesn't have a guaranteed deal.
Oh, no.
After everybody's done, Patrick Mahomes is going to get done.
But look,
and I guarantee you Patrick Mahomes' deal won't be guaranteed. He'll probably make $55 million or $50 million a year, which right now he makes $47 or something like that a year.
But his number is still pretty insane.
Yeah, but it's prorated. It's team friendly, right? But he's still getting his money.
If you're Justin Herbert, what should you do here? Should there be any part of you that is asking for more?
No. All you're trying to do is push the annual value up. That's what they can do. Justin Herbert can push it to $49 million. They expect maybe Jalen Hurts to push it up over 50, and then Joe Burrow to push it like damn near 56, and Patrick Mahomes will say, give me 60. That's how you help, because guaranteed contracts are not going to happen.
No.
Because they don't have the insurance that if players get hurt, insurance pays for it. It comes straight to the player, to the teams. It ain't like baseball.
Now, let me get one more cut in here. And this is, again, Audio Files. This is Barton Hahn, brought to you by Samwell Institute for Pain Management. Sean McDermott talking about Josh Allen. Now, again, another quarterback. And listen to this. And this is, again, part of why you will never, aside from Deshaun, you're just never going to see that fully guaranteed contract for quarterbacks.
I don't think that that's a healthy way to play quarterback in this league. It's really undefeated that things are going to happen when you play that style, that brand of football. And so we've got to get that adjusted. It's never going to go completely away, but it has to get to where it's workable. I don't want to take his personality away from him as far as that goes, his signature, but there needs to be an adjustment in that style of play.
So your head coach is already with a young quarterback, already telling him the way you play is not sustainable and you need to change it. And that's going to be something to watch.
Shut your
mouth,
Buffalo.
Because you are trying now to put your guys in bubble wrap so they can play a long time because you invest in them.
Shut your mouth, Sean McDermott. I don't want to hear that from you. How many times have I turned on the television and watched you with quarterback sweeps? So miss me with that. Miss me with your fake concern. Like, quit running them. Boy, how about this? Go and invest in a real running back. Hey, this guy named Derrick Henry, he's reportedly out there. Why don't you go out there and grab Derrick Henry? Guy like Dalvin Cooks, he's available. Why don't you go get a great running back so your quarterback don't have to be your running back? That's a you problem. Because last I checked, those quarterback sweeps were called quarterback sweeps. So miss me with the, oh, he can't do this. You got to stop him from running at all then.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
So at the Final Four, what we always get this time of year is the new Hall of Fame class. So we got some pretty impressive names in the Hall of Fame class. This is a big class.
It's always big, right?
Yeah, but and again, it's going to be announced at the Final Four, but we already have, of course, source-based information on it. And Woj reported this last night. The class will include Dwayne Wade, Dirk Nowitzki, Greg Popovich, that are expected to be finalists.
How does Greg Popovich, he's not retired yet.
Mm-hmm.
They want to give it to coaches when they are still alive, so a coach has a different exemption.
Well, I mean, but he's been around long enough that I think
but you know what I'm saying, though? Like,
what?
I'm saying coaches have a special exemption. I didn't know that because I thought you had to be retired.
The player, I think, I don't know what the player one is. Pau Gasol, Tony Parker voted into the class, according to sources, and Becky Hammon.
Oh, they're voted in? They're not finalists?
Well, this is what it's announced at the Final Four.
Okay.
That's when you get it. We'll know the official class on Saturday, but what Woj is saying, and that's the wording of this, Dwayne Wade, Dirk Nowitzki, Coach Greg Popovich are among the finalists being elected into the Hall of Fame class of 2023, according to sources. Then you have Pau Gasol, Tony Parker, and then Becky Hammon have also been voted into the class. So I'm guessing this is the class. That's a pretty big deal. That's a big one.
It's so easy to get into the NBA because it's the Hall of – it's basketball.
Well, it's basketball. It's not NBA, right.
Yeah,
It's everything you did, including international, including college. That's what it is. Now, with that in mind, the future of the NBA and of basketball was on display last night in the McDonald's High School All-Star Game. Bronny James was there. And he hit 5 threes. He had 15 points with LeBron watching.
Yeah. Am I saying something?
What?
Am I missing something?
What are you missing?
Like,
he can shoot.
He's
a good player. He's smart. He's, you know, there's some.
I get that.
Some draft experts think he could end up being like a mid first round pick now.
This year?
No.
Oh, I'm about to say.
Still has to go to college. He's not. Remember, that's still a thing now. You can't go out of high school, so he's got to go 1 year.
So 1 year. We think that in 1 year he's going to be good. Is he even the best college high school player?
Well, no. DJ Wagner, Milt Wagner's grandson.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the goods. He got MVP of the game. Jersey kid, too.
That's what I'm saying. I just want to figure out how much of the luxury tax is put on because he's LeBron's son. The young son, yeah. Them Boozer twins – Yeah. Not because he's the son of the GOAT. Them Boozer twins is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Gilbert Arenas' son, yeah.
But so you're not buying it, even though, like, I mean, the kid.
He's okay, man. I don't think he.
Look,
like,
on a big stage like that, in a game like that, he didn't look like he shouldn't have been there, and he knocked down hitting 5 threes.
I got it. He put up 15 points.
He hit 5 threes.
Okay, because they were threes. Okay.
But I'm saying, what? I just think, look, what's already going to work.
The younger son is going to be the deal.
What's going to work against that kid is everything you're talking about, is the targets on him because of his last name. And as he goes up and up and up, everybody's going to want to challenge him, and everybody's going to want to think that he's the Silver Spoon kid. He's going to have to be a grinder. He's 6'3", so he doesn't have the size his father had.
Or his brother.
But he's got the IQ.
I mean, IQ.
He understands the game. Well, IQ, it does take you far. Yes, it does.
I say IQ only takes you so far.
Of course.
At some point, when that dude that you check in, it's 6'8" and doing what you're doing.
Well, yeah.
It's a different thing. And listen, Brian put it on him. When you say that he can be in the league right now, he can, like, that's, you did that, LeBron. You put that target on his chest. And listen, I think while all this attention is put on Bronny, I think secretly the younger son is going to be the goods, and he's going to benefit from all that attention. Kind of like LaMelo. Come behind Lonzo.
Yeah.
And, like, he just was able to be a kid and he didn't have all the pressure. Cause how many times we watched the other
able to be
sons
a kid?
Name?
They sent LaMelo off to play pro.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is, like, we were looking at Lonzo. Yeah. Right? And so we were looking at the one that was going to be the first one up. And I think LaMelo is the one who benefited because he didn't have all the eyes on him. And he just can work on his game and have fun. I think while we have all our eyes on Bronny, because we've been hearing Bronny.
You think Bryce is going to be the one.
Yeah, Bryce is the one.
He is already bigger. I think he's as big as his dad already.
That's what I'm saying, like 6'8". You know
yeah,
what I'm saying?
But athletically, like he's got some growing to do because he's still very young.
Yeah,
like athletically.
He's trying to learn how to be in that type of body.
Yeah, no, it's true. But look, you know, it's a name we've all been hearing about for a couple of years. And the anticipation is if he's drafted, LeBron is going
to
be a free agent. And LeBron will go wherever his son is so he can play one year with him and then –
Let's
you know,
go Knicks.
Call it a day.
Let's go Knicks.
I don't know. But, you know, again.
You'll probably come to the Knicks.
Wherever the Knicks are, like in the draft, you wonder, right? Imagine that.
No. Just imagine. I'm like, hell no, I can go LeBron. I can't handle him talking third person, you know what I'm saying, to Bree, you know what I mean, talking to you third person. Well, you know, Allen, LeBron James. Like, you LeBron. Hell, you talking about?
That'd be good. That'd be good for ratings, though.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.